As you know, we have been looking at some of the stories that Jesus told. And we noticed along the way that there came a time when Jesus said to the folks who were rejecting him, who were lying about him, who were turning people away from him, Jesus says to those guys, you know what? The secrets, the mysteries of the kingdom are not for you. Your hearts are not right, and so you don't have access to the mysteries of the kingdom anymore. And from that moment on, he doesn't teach without parables. In the parables, he could say to those who had ears to hear, he could say to them the truths, the mysteries of the kingdom. And those who didn't have ears to hear, their hearts were off, they weren't going to understand the point. And we're looking at some of those stories that Jesus told after that time. This morning I want us to look at one of the great stories out of Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. If you have your copy of Scripture with you, look with me there. Matthew chapter 20. You can go to 12 if you want to. We just won't be there. Matthew 20. And our story begins at verse 1. However, once you find 20 and verse 1, we're going to back up one verse. Because I actually want to start in 19:30. I believe, and remember the numbers in your Bible were not inspired by the Holy Spirit. The numbers of chapters and verses, those were put there by us so that we could all be at the same spot when we talked about them, so we could find them easily. This is one of those cases that I think I think that they probably made a mistake in the division of the chapters, because the last verse of chapter 19 introduces the story that starts in chapter 20. The last verse of 19 says, many who are first will be last, and the last first. Based on that proverb, if you will, that teaching about life, then he goes into the story. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now, the vineyard was hard. You had two different kinds of farmland in Jesus' time, in Jesus' place. You had plains, and the plains would have been for the grains. You'd grow your wheat and your barley on flat land. But they have a lot of hillsides there, too. They called them mountainsides, but those of you who've been to Colorado, these would be little bitty foothills, really. Little sides of the hills, and on the slopes of the hills, they would put the vineyards, because there you could build those trellises and things that would work upside up the hillside, that would work very well. However, the fact that they were on the hillside made it very, very difficult. I mean, in order to do the work, you had to climb up the hill. A lot of times they had to take soil with them in heavy bags. They'd climb up the hill and do what they had to do and get it all done. And there's a lot of work through the year, but once you do all this work through the year, the planting and the caring for it and keeping it growing and all that you got to do, there's actually a very short window of time for the harvest. The rainy season is about to hit, and the grapes just now come ripe, and you got to get them picked quick before the rains come, because once the rains come, it kind of ruins the crop, and you don't have time to get it picked. So it's got to be done right away. And so it was very, very common that a vineyard owner would go to the marketplace. And at the marketplace, he would hire day laborers. These folks, they're only going to work for today, and they're only going to get paid 2 days' wages. You come in, I'm going to hire you right now, I'll pay you, and we're done. Because he can't afford to have them all year, he only needs them on these 1 or 2 days. So the landowner goes to the marketplace to hire laborers. Now remember, this whole story is a picture of the kingdom of God. Keep that in mind. It's a picture of the kingdom of God. Landowner goes and he hires the laborers for his vineyard, verse 2. When he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard. Denarius is actually a great deal of money for one day's work. It's what a Roman soldier would have gotten paid for a day's work. Definitely not the minimum wage kind of pay that the day laborers who hang out at the marketplace hoping somebody comes by, definitely not what they would have expected. They would normally have gotten paid a lot less than a denarius. In other words, this is a very generous offer. You work one day, I'm going to pay you the same that the Roman soldiers get paid, a whole lot more than you ever would have expected. Verse 3, and he went out about the third hour. Now, the hours get just a little bit confusing, so think of it in these terms. The day begins at 6 and it ends at 6, all right? So, if it's the third hour, it's about 9 o'clock in the morning. He went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to those he said, you too go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. And so they went. And again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour, noon and 3, and did the same thing. And about the 11th hour, he went out. You ever heard that term that such and such happened at the 11th hour? That they came through, something bad was about to happen, and then somebody showed up just in time to take care of the issue, and they showed up at the 11th hour. That phrase that we use sometimes comes from this very story. This is where it started. That something happened at the 11th hour. Why? That's the very last possible moment. There are only 12 hours in the day. And if this is the 11th hour, that means the last possible time. You and I would think of it in terms of 5 o'clock p.m. He started at 6 a.m. hiring folks every 3 hours or so, and now he comes out at 5 o'clock, and he hires some more for that last 11th hour effort. He found others standing there. I'm in the middle of verse 6. And he said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day long? And I love their answer. It is completely brilliant. They said to him, because no one hired us. We're standing here because nobody came to hire us yet. We're waiting to get a job. We don't have a job yet. So he said to them, you too go into the vineyard. And when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last group to the first. Beginning with the last group to the first. The 11th hour, guys, pay them first, and then work your way till you pay the guys that we hired first. All right, verse 9. And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received a denarius. Now, you're the guy who came at 9 a.m. that morning. What are you thinking? These guys showed up at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. They worked 1 hour, and they got a denarius. Now, if they get a denarius for 1 hour, whoo, doggy, how much I'm finna get for my 8 hours or my 9 hours. I'm set. I'm good to go. I can't wait to get my pay if that's what they get for their 1 hour. Imagine what I'm going to get for mine. Verse 10. And when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, and they also received each one denarius. And when they received it, they grumbled at the landowner. I can understand that, can't you? Is that fair? Joe worked 1 hour, and Joe get a denarius? I work 9 hours and I get a denarius? They grumbled at the landowner, verse 12, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the scorching heat of the day. But he answered and said to one of them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree to me for a denarius? Landowner said, wait a minute, what did we agree to? Matter of fact, that first group is the only group that he actually agreed to an amount. He agreed to one denarius for the first folks that he hired. The rest of the day, he just said, come work for me, I'll pay you what's fair. He said, I told you I'd pay you a denarius, here's your denarius. What am I doing wrong? I'm keeping my word. Verse 14, take what is yours and go your way, but I wish to give to this last man the same as you? Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own? Or is your eye envious because I am generous? Thus the last shall be first, and the first last. There's our proverb again. You see that? It's the bookmarks that, or the bookends that hold the story up. The last verse of chapter 19 starts it, and now verse 16 ends it. They bookmark it. They frame it. The first will be last, and the last first. We're going to think about that in just a minute, but remember, this is about the kingdom. This is about the kingdom. The last folks who come into the kingdom get the same thing as those who've been in the kingdom from the very beginning? Are you serious? In the upper room, Jesus is meeting with his disciples for the very last time. And these are the guys that understand him the most, that love him the deepest. They have followed him day in and day out for 3 long, hard years. And he says to these, his closest, beloved friends, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you, and we will be together in my Father's house. Less than 24 hours later, Jesus is hanging on a cross. And to his side, there is a criminal who has received the death penalty because of his continued crimes. And Jesus looks at that thug and says to him, today, you'll be with me in paradise. Those who had followed him closest for 3 years hear him say, you're going to be with me. And the one who had wasted his life in crime, at the last moment, the last breath, hears Jesus say, you'll be with me. Is that fair? The disciples had been faithful throughout his ministry. The criminal had never even met Jesus until the last moment. And we want to know, is that fair? Let me ask you something. Do you want what's fair? Do you really want what's fair? Let's look into the rule book for the game of life. And let's see what the rules are about how we live. When we do that, we wind up over at Romans chapter 3 at verse 23 that says, all have sinned. Look at that word, all. That means me and you and your mama too. All have sinned and fall short. That means you haven't reached the goal. You fall short of the glory of God. God has a plan. His plan includes perfection, and you ain't nowhere close to it. You fell short of perfection. And it says all of us have sinned. We understand that. So we all have sinned. What does the rule book say about sinning? The wages of sin is death. What's wages? That's what you earn. That's what you deserve. That's what's fair. The church gives me a paycheck every Sunday for the work I did the previous week. I earned it. It's mine. I deserve it. That's the wages. The wages of sin, tell me what it is. The wages of sin is, but the gift, you don't deserve it. You didn't earn it. It's a gift. And the gift of God is eternal what? You deserve what? Death. He gives you the gift of what? Life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so in this great, awesome parable, they come up and they say, hey, wait a minute, it's not fair that those who came in at the last minute get the same thing we do. He said, really? You didn't deserve the denarius I gave you. Common everyday laborers hanging out in the marketplace never get paid a denarius. I was generous to you to begin with. I didn't give you what you deserved. I gave you out of grace. And if I choose to give others grace, That has nothing to do with you. You see, we have to understand this concept of grace. Grace is receiving what you don't deserve and not receiving what you do deserve. You do deserve death. Grace says, I'm not going to give you what you deserve. You don't deserve eternal life because you can't earn it, because you fell short of the glory of God. Grace says, I'm going to give you what you don't deserve anyway. Grace is receiving what we don't deserve and not receiving what we do deserve. You see, we make the same mistake as the workers make so often when we compare ourselves to one another. This worker didn't compare himself to the agreement that the landowner made. You work all day, I'll pay you one denarius, which is generous. He didn't compare himself to that. He compared himself to a fellow worker. That's the mistake we make. We compare ourselves to one another. We say, I've been in church my whole life. You just now coming around? I've read the Bible through 3 times. You just now finding John 3:16? We look at each other and we compare ourselves to one another. But beloved, and I'm telling you, beloved, because I love you, I'm going to tell you, if you're comparing how you're growing spiritually by comparing to one another, you're way off track. Because we are not the standard by which we judge one another. The standard is God's perfection, and you're not there. The standard is not your neighbor. The standard is God's perfection. And because of that, we are overwhelmingly overcome with the reality that we need His grace. The next time you want the kingdom of God to be fair, look at the cross. The next time you think things should be fair in the kingdom, look at the cross. In 2 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians. Help me out, Kevin. My thing went past the help. See if you can find me 2 Corinthians. He made him who knew no sin. Who's that? He made him who knew no sin, the only one who ever walked the face of the earth in perfection. He made him who knew no sin to be sin. On our behalf. Is that fair? He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Is that fair? Jesus, the righteous, becomes sin so that we sinners can become righteous? Beloved, you don't want fair. You want grace. You want that amazing grace. Was it for crimes that I had done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Hallelujah for grace instead of fairness. Glory to God who is not just fair. Dear God, we thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you that you don't treat us with fairness, but with grace, mercy, a gift of life that we could never earn. Thank you for an overwhelming love that makes that a reality for us. Father, help us today to respond appropriately to that kind of love, that kind of grace. We pray in Jesus' name.